Okay, we left off yesterday, so we were talking a lot about the shiur of Abayis in terms of mezuzah and the relationship, or perhaps lack thereof, the shiur of a sukkah in terms of Zion Azayin, Dalad by Dalad, Amos, etc. So in passing yesterday, we were tossing around this idea, this lumdish idea, that when you're dealing with shiurim, so you have to always be careful what kind of a shiur you're dealing with. And we were using that kind of a story to highlight maybe some differences between bias and sukkah. So we mentioned in Yisoid that there are really two kinds of shiurim in halacha. There's the shiur, which is an absolute objective shiur, the kezayis. That's the way it is. Doesn't correspond to any shape or form to anything in the olam hazeh. Kach nem halacha b'shem sinai. Then you have other shiurim that are a reflection of some kind of a metzias. Let's say, for example, we saw the shiur of 40 sov a mikvah. 40 sov a mikvah is a reflection of the fact that's mayim shekogu for oil behem. That a normal sized person approximately fits into that amount of water. We can use the lashon of shiur chachamim that you require 40 sov a mikvah that corresponds to that physical reality. So I quoted yesterday from Rabbi Chanan. I'm not saying I quoted it incorrectly. I'm not sure I quoted it completely. So let me just say it over a little bit quickly before we go back to what we really wanted to talk about today. So I mentioned for Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanan does make this observation. So Rabbi Chanan, at the end of Kuntos Divrei Sofrim, the beginning of Chelek Beis and Kuntos Shiurim, he does make this observation that there are two types of shiurim. That there are some shiurim that are chlorkite, you know, straight as an arrow, halacha moshe m'sinai, and then there are others which are part of a general, almost a physical phenomena, whatever the physical phenomena is, amount of food a person can swallow at one shot, amount of water you need to be able to fit your body into be toivel, etc. But I presented it yesterday, not really correctly the way Rabbi Chanan presented. I think there are others who present this way, but if I quote Rabbi Chanan, I have to quote Rabbi Chanan accurately. Rabbi Chanan, when he talks about this second kind of a shiur, when he says, let's say there's a shiur of 40 sofer mikvah, or there's a shiur of kebeitza oichlin, that's tamei, and the Gemara links it to some physical reality, Rabbi Chanan writes that the shiur itself was also halacha moshe m'sinai. He says, it's not the way I presented it, that the din was halacha moshe m'sinai of oichlin echam vasachas, and then shiur hacham, and then the chacham sat down and figured out what that place to olam ha'in the laboratory. Well, the way we presented it is that the din was mayim shekol guf olam ha'in, and then the chacham had to figure out what that means in factually. Rabbi Chanan says that both the parts were halacha moshe m'sinai. That the halacha moshe m'sinai was given mikol oichla shei ochel, oichla nechem vas achas, and the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that that's what it's going to translate into a kebeitza. So it is different than the shiurim of kezayis. The shiurim of kezayis, other shiurim, are just straight as an arrow, halacha moshe m'sinai, they don't correspond to anything. Whereas these other kinds of shiurim do correspond to some physical reality, but the shiur gufa was also part of the Messiah. So when I quoted it yesterday, I made it sound more like that shiur, I don't mean literally made up afterwards, but the shiur was came to by the Chachmei HaTorah in analyzing what this principle exists. So the truth is, I think there are others who present it the way I did. I pinned it onto Rabbi Chanan, and that part was not accurate. But I think there are other Chareinim who do say it this way. And the emphasis of Rabbi Chanan himself quotes Rashi that sounds this way. Quotes some Mishnah who sound this way. The Gemara sounds the way I presented it. Because the Gemara uses the lashon v'shiur ruchachamim. Shiur ruchachamim sounds almost like the equivalent of like lamasar kosav el chachamim. We spoke about this in the past. According to many Rishonim, the isra of melechus chalamoid is deraisa. But how can we have so many discrepancies? Some things are mutter, some things are asar. So some Rishonim use the phrase lamasar kosav el chachamim to mean that the Rebbe Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu that chalamoid has to be different. It's a mikvah chedesh. It's a chag. It's a yomtov. It has to be different. But how that expressed itself, what is the proper expression of what constitutes a mikra kodesh? So when it comes to Shabbos, so the Torah tells us, l'sasa k'malacha. So it's not up for us to decide what's called mikra kodesh. The Rebbe Shlom said, l'amites malachas is called mikra kodesh b'Shabbos. The Yom-Tov standard, it's l'amites malachas minus the yechol nefesh malachas. When it comes to chalamot, the Torah doesn't say l'sasa k'malacha. There's no way some malacha explicit in the Chumash. It's only called the Mikra Kodesh. So if it's called the Mikra Kodesh, you have to figure out, well, what constitutes Mikra Kodesh? So the Mesorah calls the Chum. So the Chum has to be Keveya, what is a violation of Mikra Kodesh and what's not. If and when Chazal comes to the conclusion that this is a violation of Mikra Kodesh, that becomes an Issa D'Araisa. It's not an Issa D'Rabot, that is an Issa D'Araisa, but it's a type of Tereshim HaPeh that there is a little bit of human input into. So I think it's the way I was describing that second type of a shiur was closer to that of the Masorah Kosel Chachamim than the way Rabbi Chanan is presenting it. He himself is presenting it. It was Mamish HaKach Nemer Aloch Moshe M'Sinai, a Kebeit HaZoichlin, because of the following physical phenomena. Kach Nemer Alach Masinei 40 saw because of the following physical phenomena. What we were saying yesterday was Kach Nemer Alach Masinei, the following physical phenomena, and go figure it out what that is. Once I'll find what it is, it's deraisa. We're not going to say that, well, let's say I'm a short person, I can fit into a mikveh 39 saw, and that's not going to fly min haTorah. Well, let's say I'm a, you know, I'm a big person, I'm a small person, I could swallow less than a kibbeh b'vasachas or something. Again, those dinim are not going to change for each individual person, but I'm not sure what Meshubit to say that Rabbi Chanan said that the Shia Gufa was given halacha l'shtinah. So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit from yesterday. There was something also strange that also in passing when we spoke yesterday about the Shia V'sukha of 7 Tvachim. So we said that the Shia V'sukha doesn't sound like it was mamash halacha l'shtinah 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. It sounds from the Gemara that the din was it has to be a makam dira, and then figure out what makam dira means. So Ravida Nasi came to one conclusion, Beis Shammai came to another conclusion, Beis Hillel came to another conclusion. Yet a running machlekes into the days of the Tanoim, what exactly the meaning of the word dira? How does it properly express itself? It doesn't sound like there was a clear cut halacha l'shtinah called 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. The Rambam doesn't sound that way. There's a difficult Rambam in his Afnamah de Pesha Mishnayis, where the Rambam sounds like the Shia of 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim itself was Halach Mashtinai. It's a very, very difficult Rambam. It doesn't fit into Lashna Gemara. It doesn't fit into some other statements that the Rambam himself makes. I don't understand what the Rambam means, but the Rambam does sound that way in Pesha Mishnayis, that some of the Shia of 7 Tvachim was Tach Halach Mashtinai. It doesn't sound that way at all. According to the Rif, Zichah wasn't like that. According to the Rif, the Tefach was only meant to Rabbanan altogether that we spoke about again earlier. So again, there's a little bit of a difficulty in terms of that Lashon HaRam and Perish Mishnayis. Right, that's what makes it more difficult, right, because the Rambam himself in Perish Mishnayis, two paragraphs later, develops that whole Yisrael, it's not something to Machlaikis, but yet he calls 7 by 7 Halach Masina, which is a very, very startling Rambam. I don't know, I'm not sure what to do with that Rambam. Okay, anyway, getting back to our story, that was just a little bit of Shirah, just a little bit of, I don't know if we clarify to confuse people, but a little bit of something from yesterday. Okay. So, by the way, we're getting back now to the realm of leaving the Sukkah back to the realm of the bias in terms of Dalet by Dalet. And we said that Dalet by Dalet sounds like it's an absolute, but not necessarily, because there is a Gemara on the Gimel of Beis. But the Gemara gives us one exception to the rule of the Dalet by Dalet. That's vis-a-vis the Sugya of Erev Tchumen. So we were talking yesterday about a little bit of Erev Chaseiros, a little bit of Erev Tchumen. I asked yesterday in my house who ate the matzah from the Erev Chaseiros. So nobody knew. The best suggestion that I heard was is that sometimes some of the Balabatim who learn in the afternoon on Shabbos sometimes forget that they want each other shul, sometimes they'll forget to bring a challah roll or something. So they know they can always scrounge around and find an extra roll, extra something in the shul kitchen. So the box of matzahs are sitting in the shul kitchen, it's part of the house also. So they must have thought that was just shul matzahs. So they were right, it was communal matzahs, but it wasn't shul matzahs, but it was communal matzahs. But I guess they did have it right. That was the only... No, everyone else in my family denied eating the masses. Yeah, so I assume that's what happened. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Baruch Hashem, there's still plenty of masses left, so it's still good. Getting back to the story. So when it comes to Erev Tchumen, the very end of the shiur we said yesterday, is that a person is allowed to walk 2,000 amos in all directions from the place where he's kaina shvisa. So where is a person kaina shvisa? So the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Erev says, you're kind of shvisa where you are. Wherever Shabbos starts, wherever Ben Hashmashah starts, wherever you are, that's your makom shvisa. So if you're in the middle of a forest somewhere, in the middle of the desert somewhere, in the middle of the North Pole somewhere, so your kinyan shvisa is exactly where you're standing, and then you have 2,000 amos in all directions, unless you send it Me'ev Kumin to one of the directions, then you gain 2,000 amos in that direction, you lose in the opposite direction. But let's say, for most of us, are not kind of shvisa in the middle of a forest, in the middle of the desert, most of us are kodesh shvisa in the middle of a city. So when it comes to the middle of a city, the Mishnah says in Erevin, then you're not kodesh shvisa from the place where you are, you're kodesh shvisa from the furthermost boundaries of the city. The whole city is treated like your Dalet Amos, and then once your city limits end, so then you go 2,000 Amos on from that point. So the Mishnah in the whole fifth parakh of the Mishnah of Erevin deals with these kinds of scenarios. How do you draw the end of a city? At what point does the city end? So the Mishnah speaks about it. You have a city and then you have a little bit of a house, one house a little bit at the end of the city, a little bit of that. So there are all kind of shirim, all kind of dinim as to how exactly you map out what still considers to be within the city a limit. And sometimes you can have a situation where two cities overlap one another. So if you have two cities that overlap into one another, then they merge together to become one big metropolitan area, the one big city, and then your kidney shvisa doesn't start till the end of the other city. So that's what we have. A lot of us have that kind of a setup. let's say, the definition of a city of halacha has nothing to do with whether it's called New York City, whether it's one name or not. That's not the kiveya. There are very, very specific halachas. So let's say a person is Kodesh Shvisa on 185th Street in Amsterdam Avenue, but he's not really Kodesh Shvisa here. He's Kodesh Shvisa at the outermost perimeters of his city. Where is that? So it probably goes throughout all Manhattan, maybe very well going to Brooklyn, maybe it goes further, maybe it crosses over the George Washington Bridge also. So it's not, you have to learn the Sugya of Erev very, very carefully to figure out where the end of that Kodesh Shvisa is. One of the dinim that appears in the Gimel days in the Masechet Sukkah is sometimes you have two cities that are very close to one another, and we're trying to determine, did they overlap to merge to become one city or not? So the din is depends how much space, of empty space is between them. So there's a Shia Nuchas Erevin called 70 and two-thirds of an of a Amah. 70 Amahs and two-thirds of an Amah. Where that magic number came from is a very, very complicated calculation based on the Chatzim Mishnah. But the Ma'aseh, that's the bottom line is, that's the number. Shivim Amah v'Shirayim. Shivim Amah plus a little bit of a leftover. It's not the Shirayim of the Rebbe's dish, but a little Shirayim leftover. Not a full Amah, so we call it Shivim Amah v'Shirayim. So what if you have a city, you know, one city over here with a lot of houses in it, and then you have another city over here with a lot of houses in it, and there's more than a total of 141 and a third Amahs between the two. So there's empty space, you have 141 and a third Amahs, so then the Shirayim of this city don't match into this city, then you have a problem. Then each city is on its own, and the guy who was Kodesh Shvis over here can only walk 2,000 Amahs. You can only walk 2,000 Amahs from the end of the city over here in this direction or in this direction, etc. If there would be a little bit less than 141 and a third Amahs, then we would combine the two cities and then you would have your 2,000 Amahs would start over here. There's a din that if you have a house in between, so the house in between can join the two together. So the Gemara asked the question, the Gemara discusses, how big does that house have to be in order to join the two together? It has to be a house. But what if that little of that house is just short of Dalad Amas per Dalad Amas? It's a very, very small house. Nobody would really live in such a house because it's less than Dalad Amas per Dalad Amas. The Gemara says that it's Kaman Delay, that it doesn't exist, and it can't join the two cities together. So then the Gemara asks the question on Gilmi Beis. So the Gemara says that Filu Burgenal Mashvilin Lay. There is a din that, let's say you have what's called Burgen. And Burgen is like a little hut, a little area that people sit in to guard, to watch things. So you have a little guardhouse or something. So the Gemara says, in Erevin, the Burgenin will continue the count going. Burgenin can be used to start the two cities together. So the Gemara asks the Kasha and Sukkot of Gimel, why is the house less than Dalad by Dalad? No, why is it any worse than Burgenin? If Burgenin does the trick, so why doesn't the house do the trick? So the Gemara says, the answer is my time. But Burgenin chazle musayu, v'haylo chazle milsei. Burgenin are made that way. The purpose of Burgenin to be a little small guardhouse or something, so you never make it more than Dalad by Dalad, so that's normal to be that size. So therefore it counts as a tzir between the two cities. But Shankin, if you built a house to live in, and now you can't fit your beds in, you can't fit your table in, you can't walk in there because it's too small, so it's no chazal and milse, and therefore it's not going to be acceptable. So ad kan devei gemara. So if you would just read this Gemara, you'll just, on a superficial level, you would say, this is a very exciting topic. If and when you're learning Masechet Erevin, so if you're interested in figuring out whether you have a Burgenin or you don't have a Burgenin, so then it's going to be important to learn this Gemara carefully. It is relevant for most of us who very rarely paskin Tchumen Shailas, so most probably not. Until came along the Rashash and said, no, this Gemara is very, very relevant for us. Why is this Gemara relevant for us? So comes the Rashash on the... Can I put it on the Rabbi Comments somewhere? Comes the Rashash and says, on the ninth of the Rabbi Comments, my Tavah Burgen and Chazal Musami, generally, the Beishar Pasuch Labayas, the Chayib Mezuzah, I feel aimed by Dalad al Dalad, the Milse Chazi. What's also came to Piskachuba Simin Reish Pevah. Comes the Rashash and says, what if you have a house that's less than Dalad al Dalad, or a room, if it's less than Dalad al Dalad, but it was made to be less than Dalad by Dalad? That's how it's constructed. It's always made that way. Everybody wants to be less than Dalad al Dalad. And it's perfectly fit and able to use, serve the purpose that it was made for. Says the Rashash, it would appear to him that halachically that's the equivalent to the house of Dalad al Dalad. Once the Gemara gives us the Pesach, once the Gemara gives us the green line, it says that the number Dalad by Dalad is not absolutely written in stone. but rather the number dal by dalit is just merely an expression of normal usage. Well, bamedavam amurim, less than dal by dalit is not normal usage if you want to build yourself a house to eat and sleep in. But if you want to build yourself a beishar to serve as some kind of a guard tower, you want to build yourself burgundy or something, or for that matter, you want to build yourself any other room, but it's miyuchad lekach to be used, and it's considered to be very normal to use it that way. So be it. So that is considered to be a bias in halacha. In the same way that that little teeny burgundin can serve as a tzir between the two ayaras, who a dinami, it can become chayav and mezuzah as well, even on the level of deraisa. That's the chiddush that the Rashash has, his observation based on that Gemara. And he writes that he was mechavin to a pischa tshuva in Yerdeh, that calls us the name one of the Gedolei Achronim called the Chamudi Daniel. So the Chazal stands for the Sefer Chamudi Daniel, came up with the same idea. What are the ramifications of this Chamudi Daniel, of this Rashash, of this pischa tshuva? The ramifications are tremendous, because many, many rooms in our homes are in fact less than dalet al dalet. And that's exactly the way they were meant to be. And they serve a perfectly valid function, being less than dalet al dalet. You know what we call them? We call them closets. Now, a closet is less than dalet by dalet, but it's a great place for me to put my stuff. I can leave my coats in the closet, I can leave my shoes in the closet, I can bring my kids' toys in the closet, and I use them fairly well. They were made, the architect made the plans, Doc could build a pocket of dalet al dalet, perfectly functioning well. According to these achronim, those rooms would become chayv and mezuzah even on the level of deraisa. So is one meshuba to this tach of the rishash that is chiddush gomer v'chmuna tanir v'shuva? So other achronim question the validity of the argument of these achronim based on the following. Let's not forget that the only context that the Gemara tells us Burgen break the rules of dalet al dalet is vis-a-vis some technical detail with the rabban of tchumen. And we all know, for the most part, Erev tchumen is only with the rabban anyway. Maybe once in a blue moon you can have a Shabbat Tchumen Deraisa, but the overwhelming majority of the time, all of Tchumen is all in the Rabbanan anyway. So just because the standards the Rabbanan of Tchumen were instituted following this kula, so to speak, of Burgenin, maybe this was a special kula look at Erev Tchumen. This is a special quirk, a special green light Chazak gave in Erev Tchumen. Because after all, they're calling the shots in Tchumen anyway. The whole thing is on the Mizra Rabbanan. Mashayim came when we're paskating hardcore, ironclad Dinim Deraisa of mezuzah, so there's only one criteria that we go with, and that is dalet amos for dalet amos. And if it's not dalet amos for dalet amos, then it's not chayev and mezuzah. It's roi lekach, who cares? So this is a real serious conceptual kind of a question here. Do we say this distinction that the Gemara tells us, at least in Hilchos Tchumen, spills over to the deraisas of mezuzah, Rashash, the Ketuvah, Chumud of Daniel thought, and other Echorenim weren't so convinced that it would be true. What do we think this issue should depend on? Do you think that this equation of the Rashash is correct or not? So my knee-jerk reaction would be, it's probably a little bit of a throwback to what we spoke about yesterday, the beginning of the shiur today. Major, what is this shiur of dalet by dalet? What is this really all about, the shiur of dalet by dalet? Is this some kind of an objective halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? This is the way it is. When the Rishon told Moshe Rabbeinu, Chsaf v'mezuz beisecha, this is the Torah definition of a bias. No more, no less. That's just the way it is. So do you say that there's some kind of an official definition of a shear, a kazayas, and that's just the way it is? So then it's hard to make chinuk, it's hard to say, no, that's only true for the abnormal house. But for a normal closet, even that's chayv and mezuzah. But it's not a bias. A pishin is not a bias. But if you say something more in sync with the way we were presenting at the end of the shear yesterday, that the way they go down Rav Chonin's route, our route, but the din of bias, it's not an absolute, it's not an objective, makes no sense kind of a shiur. The shiur of bias is a reflection of dira. So it depends what kind of ma'aseh dira you're planning on doing. If you're planning on doing a ma'aseh dira of eating and sleeping, so that kind of a ma'aseh dira lends itself to a dalet by dalet. If you're planning on doing a different kind of a ma'aseh dira, like storing your toys and storing your shoes, so then that's a different kind of a ma'aseh dira. Maybe that kind of a ma'aseh dira doesn't have an absolute requirement of dalet by dalet. If one wants to go down and focus it on the ma'aseh dira part, maybe you have to raise another question. Well, who says that the closet, the chayv, and mezuzah altogether? Maybe they're not called a bias because maybe there's no dira taking place altogether. The Gemara always uses the phrase mezuzah chavas hadar. You have to have a ma'aseh dira to be mechayv and mezuzah. So is that really called a ma'aseh dira? Maybe ma'aseh dira only refers to being and sleeping. Those kinds of rooms are chayv and mezuzah. maybe a closet which is just keeping his shoes there is not a ma'aseh dira altogether. But that's actually the machlekes in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the machlekes in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, where the base of oitzer is chayv and mezuzah altogether. I have a storage house, I have a storeroom, I keep my vials of wine in the room in the basement. Is that chayv and mezuzah altogether? So we paskin that yes. We paskin that's also an extension of dira. That's what I'm using for my regular purposes. I always go into that room and I use the stuff there, even though I'm not living in it in the sense of eating and sleeping, but that's also an extension of a ma'aseh dira. So we paskin halacha that a beis ha'oitzer is chayv and mezuzah min ha'torah. That's the pashas ha'dvarim. So then, if we're willing to say that the shiur of dalad by dalad is not an absolute objective shiur of dalad amis, but it's more of a reflection in dira, so then the rashash and others seem to fit in, seem to make a lot of sense. But if we don't want to go down that route, if we want to insist dalad amis chik l'yava, that's the way it is, and don't discuss otherwise, so then the stummy one would not be bound to this chumra of the pesachuv of the rashash to come in. What do we have to lose? So the post can point out that even if you hold that closet as a chayiv, it's only a closet you can walk into. If you can't or you don't walk in a closet, then there's nothing to discuss, because the Torah says v'chsaf v'mezuz beisecha, and the Torah about that tells us that the word beisecha has a dual meaning. Beisecha means kipshuto abayis, but beisecha is also a lashon biyoscha, the way you walk through. That's why the Gemara says that how do you know that you put the mezuzah on the right side, not on the left side? Because a regular person, when you get up, you put your right foot, is that the phrase? Put your right foot forward. That's called derech b'yoscha. That's the source for the din derei, so that you have to put mezuzah dafka on the right side. So the word beisecha has a double meaning. It refers to derech b'yoscha and refers to the structure of a bayis. So even if you want to argue that a closet is a bayis, but it's not derech b'yoscha, the ma'aseh can't fit through it if you can't walk into it, if you don't normally walk into it. The Shach has a famous kasha, Hilchos Mezuzah, says, if the din is that you have to put mezuzah on the right side because derech v'yoscha, what if you're a left-footed person? So should it be the same as Hilchos Tefillin? The person gets up from the chair, who here is left-footed? Feeling left-footed? So when you get up, which foot do you put forward?
No.
So experiment. Next time you get up, take a look at what's here. You'll probably put your left foot forward. Who here plays football? Who has a left-footed person who plays football? Okay, what position do you play?
I kick with my left foot.
You kick your left foot. Okay, you punt with your left foot. Yeah. Okay. So, any famous kickers in football who are left-footed? What? Who? Stetterer. From my time?
Kansas City.
I never watched. David Akers. I never watched Kansas City. Okay. I remember left-handed quarterback. Who's the famous? Who's the famous? Come on. 1970s, come on. It's the old time. Ken Stabler. Good. All right, Rabbi Sashin, off the record. That was just kidding. The man of modern spirit. Okay. So, all right. The question is, what foot do they kneel on, not which foot they kick in? That's the real shower. Okay. So, a rough topic over there, Rabbi. Politically loaded topic. You guys didn't even know I'd know what I'm talking about. Okay. That's right, that's Nafkamina Chalitza, right. Nafkamina is the Chalitza, right. So the Shach is a famous kasha from the Zuz. He wants to know which foot you kick the football. Which, if the Shach asked the mezuzah, he says if you have a left footed person, why don't you put mezuzah on the left side? Because it's derech b'yoscha. What would be the precedent for that? If the tefillin changes, if you must be famous, you're not that tefillin changes. The tefillin, you put tefillin in your left hand, your left-handed person, you put tefillin in your right hand, that's the Farish of Gemara. So why doesn't that carry over to mezuzah? The Shach is a very, very interesting tariff. The Shach says, no, in Hilchot mezuzah, you can't just follow the one guy who's left-footed because it's for everybody in the house, for his wife, for his kids, for the whole family. So you can't just make a fuss about him. So Mestamba, that's where you follow the right. What would come back with that, Shach? The whole family, they're all off base. Well, the guy lives by himself. He got one yeshiva bucket. He got his renting his own apartment. And he happens to be the left-footed person. So he would have to put, how many people live in your apartment right now?
You? Everyone else is right.
What? But I'm saying.
Now it's just my
wife. Okay, is your wife left-footed or right-footed?
She's right.
Okay, so according to the Shach, you have a suffix, which starts with the mezuzah. So it's a peladik shach. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. So the Acharonim explained the real answer, but it seems to be the all-encompassing answer to the shach time is that there's a big, big difference between tefillin and mezuzah. Conceptually, what's the big difference? Tefillin is a chavis hawat. Chavis haguf, chavis hagavra. So you have to be down each gavra on themselves. Mezuzah is a chavis habayis. I mean, the bias is, let's say I don't own a house. I'm living in the street somewhere, so I'm not mechuyev to go run ahead and put a mezuzah up. We're going to put a mezuzah up. I'm not mechuyev. If I don't have a bias, so the hilchos mezuzah emanate from the bias. So when you're dealing with the chetz of a bias, you go boss a rov ha'olam. So rov, normal people are right footed people. So every once in a while, you got a different kind of a guy who's a left footed person. But that's not going to impact on hilchos mezuzah. That's the Pasha's advice. And Uchas Chalitza, the Ramban and Masechet Yevamah quotes the Shaila, Oy Chalitza, Chalitza, you have to do Chalitza with the right foot, not the left foot. So the Ramban quotes the Suffolk. Some Rishonim said, a left-footed person does Chalitza with his left foot. Some Rishonim say you do it with your right foot. And the Ramban quotes another possibility, you can't do Chalitza openly. You have to read them. You can't do, if your only brother is a left-footer, you can't do it. So you know what our minig is by Chalitzas? Of left-footed people? I don't know. We do two Chalitzas. We do one with the right foot, one with the left foot, hope for the best. That one of them should be good. But they actually test before they do a chalitza, and then when they see the chalitza, so they ask the yavam to stand up and to walk around a little bit, and they ask him to give a kick, to kick the wall or something, kick the garbage can or something, to see which foot he naturally picks up. If he's a right foot person, then matzah. If he's a left foot person, then we have to do a double chalitza. Okay. Anyway, getting back to that story. That was the end of the Yoschan question. Back to the regular story. What? You're right, you have to figure out how to not get to be a chalitza p'sula. Tanai, you have to, you know, kind of kunsim. Yeah. Okay. So we have a major machlekes acharonim. What's the din in all our closets? You have 20 rooms in your house that, according to half the acharonim, need a mezuzah, and according to the other half the acharonim don't need a mezuzah. What do you have to lose? Just be machlek for the mezuzah. What's the big deal? They have to lose a couple $100. What's the big deal? So there's a problem, because we may not want to do that. We may not want to put the mezuzah on the closet for the following reason. Because of a kind of Rebbe Kiva Eger. The tenth of the Rebbe Kiva Eger has a bombshell in that sugya. Listen to this Rebbe Kiva Eger. Tenth of the Rebbe Kiva Eger changed the entire world of Hilchos Mezuzah. Tzvun Reish Pei Vav Sif Yud Gimel. Dal Adal Potter. If it's not Dal Adal, it's Potter. Listen to what this means. The Hainu, to Mitzarat Tzmuso Potter Mezuzah. Zav Rebbe Kiva Eger. If you have a room that's less than dalad a dalad, so it's potter mezuzah mitam atzmoi, that's not a bayis. Aval becheder shelefnim mecheder shekorim kemerchi. I have no idea what this is. Sheyotzi mecheder agodol lecheder kemerchi. You go from a big room into a little room. Hapesach ahu chayiv mezuzah mitzad agodol sheyotzi mimenu derech pesach zu lecheder kotan. V'yinidam cheder kotan ke'avir. Anyone know what Rebbe Kivayger is talking about? He just turned the Chos Mezuzah on its head. Rebbe Kivayger just said it as follows. Two rooms. It's a big room. Here's small room. A little too, so Pesach has a doorway or a door, whatever it is here. There's a big room, there's a little room. This is 20 by 20. And this is two amas by two amas. Okay? But there's a closet. My shoes there, my coats are there, everything's there. According to the Chmuna Daniel people, where does the mezuzah go? You put a mezuzah here, Minatara, right over here. Right? Because even though it's less than by Dal, it doesn't matter. So Rebbe Kivayger says the exact opposite. So Rebbe Kivayger, Dal Mehocha, this room. Make believe this room doesn't exist. It's less than Dal by Dal. What Rebbe Kivayger's marshal, he said, make believe it's airspace. It doesn't exist. It's like the outdoors. So it's the outdoors. You now have an outdoors connected to what? To a house. So you need a mezuzah. Pesach hazel chayev mezuzah. That's what he said. The Pesach is chayev mezuzah. The little room is not chayev mezuzah. But chsaftam mezuzah b'sech v'sherecha. You have a shari of a Pesach is chayev mezuzah. Which direction is the mezuzah going to go on? It's going to go on the right side, going where? Going into the big room, right over here. So according to Rebbe Kivayger, you need a mezuzah min hatorah over here, going into the big room. And according to the Chmuna Daniel and the Rashash people, you need a mezuzah min haTorah going into the little room. So, you know, you had this attitude before. What's the big deal? Just put up a mezuzah and make the Rashash happy. Well, wait a second. If you want to make the Rashash happy, and you think Rabbi Kinev is right, you're going to end up with two mezuzahs on the door. That's going to look very, very funny. Before we thought, when we read that Gemara, we thought, less than a dollar, you're home free. Came one group of Rachmanim and said, you're only home free if it's not Roy L'Tashmish, which will look mechayev all the walk-in closets. And Kumtur Begvegman says, no, the Gemara just meant to say, it's part of the mezuzah going into the room, but going from the room into the house of Adon Avad, it's going to be chayev mezuzah min haTorah. Two radically different approaches to Hilchos Mezuzah, from Kiveger and the Rashash. So Rav Moshe had a third approach to Hilchos Mezuzah. You know what Rav Moshe said? Neither one is necessarily correct. First of all, half the Achronim say that they never heard of this Rashash as Chumra. The Gemara only said it by Brogan, but Chumra never carries over to Mezuzah. And says Rav Moshe, Kiveger's Pshat is not correct either. What's faulty? What's the deficiency of Kiveger's Chiddush? It sounds like it's Gevaldik. What's wrong with it? The room is higher. This is a dollar by dollar. It's 20 by 20. What's the svar against Rabbi Kiveger? It's not a chisar in the word Beisecha. It's a chisar in which word? Terech B'yoscha. Remember, that's what we just quoted the Gemara before. B'yoscha is a double meaning. In order to be Chaim Mezuzah, it has to be both a cheftzef and a bayis. That's defined by dollar on dollar, whatever you think that means. And number two, it has to be, if it's chos in Terech B'yoscha, you're zikha not going to be chai. Zachar Moshe, what's the Terech B'yoscha of this Pesach? If we would zero and focus in on this Pesach over here, which is the Derech, what's the Derech B'yoscha? How do you determine what's called Derech B'yoscha? How do you know what's called going in? This is a very, very tricky question. Forget this complicated case. A regular case. I have a living room connected to a dining room. So here I got my couches. Okay, I got my farm shelves. All right, here I got my refrigerator. Can't tell the difference. Here I got my counter space. Right, okay. So which is the Derech B'yoscha? Which side do you put the mezuzah on? How in the world do you make that determination? So the pashtus in the halacha is, there are maybe other factors, but the pashtus in the halacha is that everything starts from the outside. So you have to go out to the front door and see, when you walk in from the outside, Hilchos Mezuzah begins to kick in. So I walk in, so right when I walk in, thus is the Derech B'yoscha. And I continue in my walk through the house. What's the flow of traffic in the house? Is the flow of traffic, if these are all closed up, the flow of traffic is going to be nowhere because no one can ever get inside. So you have to have some openings here a little bit. Okay? I'm very good. I'm the architect here. So you got openings over here. So now you have to ask yourself, do people usually go this way? People usually go this way. It depends on the house. Some houses, people go into the living room first. Most houses are like that. Most balabustas don't like that people should come traipsing through the kitchen, at the front door. So you have to figure out to determine what's called the Derech B'yoscha. So the Derech B'yoscha is this way. So it goes here. Derech B'yoscha is this way. Then it goes here. So comes Rav Moshe and says, there is no question what the Derech B'yah is over here. Why? Because there's no other way to get out of this closet. So the only way to get into the closet, like imagine, right, think of your own home, okay? So you walk into the front door, usually walk into some kind of little hallway that leads probably into some kind of a living room kind of an area, and there's usually a coat closet on the side, all right? So the doorway between the living room area and the coat closet, which is the Derech B'yah, obviously going into the coat closet. So Rav Moshe said, once the Derech B'yah is going into the coat closet, so it's potter. Arch the paskin, then it's potter. Less than dollars finished. You're only not mechuyav to put a mezuzah. We don't accept the Rashash, so you're not mechuyav to put a mezuzah. Rabbi Kiveger says, no, you're not mechuyav to put a mezuzah, but you have to turn it around and put the mezuzah the other way. So Rav Moshe, that's a violation of Derech B'yoscha. Derech B'yoscha means that you have to paskin on the Pesach, lefi Derech B'yah, that's it. To which Rabbi Kiveger would respond, that's not what it says in the Gemara. Derech B'yoscha just means that to determine when you have two rooms of chayav, you're trying to determine which is the room, so the Gemara says, so then the din is you follow the Derech B'yah, the Derech going in the right. But if you have one room that's chayav, one room that's potter, so down the hach of the room that's potter, and turn around and say, well, there is some traffic going from here to here, when you walk out of the coat closet, you're coming back into the living room. So that is enough for Derech Biyasa to be Mechayiv. So that's a nuance of a machlokes in Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Kivega about what exactly does Derech Biyasa exclude. According to Rabbi Moshe, Derech Biyasa is all encompassing, that in order to determine whether there's a chiyuv in the first place, the chiyuv can only be on the flow of traffic. If the flow of traffic is into a room that's potter, so be it, then it's potter. And Kivega says, Lord, it's Bami Yalim. Derech Biyasa is a way to determine which is the right side when I know I have a Pesach that's chayav, so which side do I put it on? But I can ignore Derech Biyasa and turn around and say, if I have a makom that's potter, so dam yachal makom potter, view it as airspace, and then go into the big room. That's a nuanced machlekes of Kivega and others. So again, so we have three logical possibilities here about what to do with these small rooms. Either you can take the approach, it's totally possible. That's the simple reason to go on. Lesson down by down, forget the whole story. Or go down the Rashash with the Nip, the Teshuva route, that it's Chayev, because it's Rav Tashmish, and it's going into the closet. Or Kivegu says the room is Potter, but it's still Chayev in the other direction, going from the left side, or from the right side, going into the big room.
On the west side,
because,
I mean, it's kind of like when you have a one-way exit from somewhere, you still
would say
put it on the right side.
Like,
just because it goes to the
circus, you have to put it on the right side. Where are you going to put it? To put it on the right side going into the room is absurd, because that room is potter. So that's like putting it into the street. You wouldn't put a mezuzah going into the street.
You have a one-way exit.
You wouldn't put it going into the street. Either you don't put it all, or you put it into that. You don't put a mezuzah going into the street. Either it doesn't need a mezuzah altogether, or it needs a mezuzah going into the house. To put a mezuzah going into the street makes mamash no sense. Where is it going to? It's going to that. You put a mezuzah leading into the house, that's chayav mezuzah. I'm not chayav mezuzah in the middle of the street. So I have a problem with the kinegan. Everybody asked me a kasha from the kinegan. This is a very doctor's thing Rabbi Kivega just said. A very, very fundamental question of mezuzah. Kivega just made an equation between a makom p'tur. So he just said, I don't mean makom p'tur to Shabbos. I mean a makom p'tur mezuzah equals avir. Equals like b'chutz. It's like living outdoors, like building on the normal street. Is that true always with mezuzah? Someone asked me an interesting kasha. Someone think about a very, very fascinating kasha. Quintus of Kivega. What are some other examples of the komos that are potter from mezuzah? Bathrooms are potter from mezuzah. Why bathrooms are potter from mezuzah? Because I'm beginning of humor says not a base covered. Some others up in Sukkim. Beisechim, but Beisechim, they're covered. I've called Mokom covered. Beisechim, Kiseh, Beisechim, Mechatz. First place they're potter from mezuzah. Who sees the kasha coming? You should have a mezuzah on every bathroom coming from the bathroom into the bedroom. I have a bathroom in my bedroom. So why don't I have a mezuzah coming from the bathroom into the bedroom? So you're going to tell me a story, it's not covered from the mezuzah, that's what you're going to tell me, right?
No, I said that the bathroom still has a shame of the room. The reason why the others are pure is because it doesn't have a shame of the room.
Oh, okay. Get in there. So I thought you were going to tell me, that's what you're going to tell me. Oh no, because it's bizarre. You have to have a mezuzah in the bathroom. So the Chazon Ish says, what kind of silly objection is that? Because you didn't ask that objection. Says the Chazon Ish, just put a door in your bathroom. So when you're using the bathroom, you close the door. And the mezuzah is on the outside. What's the problem? Well, why is that intrinsically a bizarre into the mezuzah? So you have to come up with a better answer than that, says the Chazon Ish. So he came up with a better answer. So the Chazanish and Zav came up with the same good answer. What's the answer? So comes the Chazanish and says a little bit clearer. We'll quote the Chazanish, but the same idea. So the Chazanish says, this svar of today, that Dal Mehocha, this room, you have to be very, very careful before you invoke this svar. Says the Chazon Ish, the Das Rav Kivega, there are fundamentally two different types of Pturim Minuchas Mezuzah. Not all the Pturim Minuchas Mezuzah are created equal, says the Chazon Ish. Sometimes a room or house, an area is part of a mezuzah because it's just not a Mokum Dira. Why is it not a Mokum Dira? Because it's too small for Dira. Maybe there are other reasons why it's not a Mokum Dira. It's not a Mokum Dira, Bechlal. According to those opinions of the Gemara, they say the base of Oitzer is not a Mokum Dira. Okay. We don't pass that way. But some Pturim Hilchos Mezuzah emanate from the fact that there's not a Machom Dirus. And there are other Pturim Hilchos Mezuzah that emanate from the fact that they are a Machom Dira. They're 100% a Machom Dira. But what? There's still some tangential Ptur. There's some external Ptur. It's not a chisar, not a deficiency in the Machom Dira. It's a chisaron in some other prat, some other quirk, some other dintrat Hilchos Mezuzah. But it doesn't touch on a chisar, a deficiency in terms of Dira. So says the Chazanish, look at the Gemara Maseches Yuma and tell me, why is the bathroom potter from Zuma? One could have said it's potter because it's not a Machom Dira, because the activities that you do in a bathroom are not Dira activities. So the Chazanish says that's not correct, because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, you know why a bathroom is potter from Zuma? Because it's not Machom covered. And the Torah gives us a model. It doesn't say, Uchsasab al Mezuzos Machom Dira Secha uvisharecha. It says, so the word bias has a certain connotation to it, that not just enough to be a makom. Makom diris zichir has to be. It has to be a makom diris covered. A bias is identical, it's synonymous with a makom diris covered. So you can have a makom diris that's not a diris covered, it's going to be positive from a mezuzah. So a bathroom is a makom dira, but it's not a makom covered. And that's the reason ultimately why it's positive from a mezuzah. Says the Chazanish, that nuance of difference makes all the difference. So we have to determine now, I have this doorway, okay? And I can't figure out which room does this doorway belong to. Which who grabbing the doorway for themselves? Where do we view? Do we view this doorway as going to room A? Room A? Or do we view it as going to room B? So he says, I have this doorway standing in the middle of these two areas, between A and B. And B says, I have nothing to speak for myself. I'm not a Makom Dira. I'm less than dollar a dollar. I'm nothing. How can I grab a doorway to be called my doorway? And big fat A says, Ich bin the Makom Dira. So comes the halacha Rabbi Kivegar and says, and almost overturns Derech Biyoscha. That was a Moshe's Taina, but Rabbi Kivegar didn't buy into that. Comes to Rabbi Kivegar and says that when you have a clash between a Makom Dira and a not Makom Dira, so then if you want to know which area is this door in Mishyachis to, the door is Mishyachis to the Makom Dira. And the B is viewed like a Makom Minachutz. Because anyway, the B is a Makom Minachutz. It's outdoors. It's not a Makom Dira. It's command the waste. It doesn't exist. So we have a right to overturn the normal principle of Derech Biyos and say, this doorway is now Mishyachis back to A. But when you have two rooms, and they both became as Dira. This is Dalet by Dalet, but it happens to be Beisakisei, and this is B, and this is A. So now you have this Pesach that's vying, A and B are both vying for the Pesach, so A and B are fighting it out. So what does A say to B? What does A say? Ich bin a Makom Dira. I want that Pesach for me. And what does B say? I'm also based Dira. I'm just as based as you are. So A says to B, says, what do you mean you're a based Dira? You're part of a mezuzah. So what is B's response? To A, you total am aretz. You never learned the Gemara in Yuma. The reason why I'm part of a mezuzah is not a deficiency in my Dira. It's another din. It's a din of my covered. But it's not a din of, not a chesaron in Dira. And therefore, your claim to that doorway is no greater than my claim to the doorway. You can't just shove me out the door, no pun intended, and just put me in the street and say, I'm a nothing, I'm a makom avir, I'm a makom nechutz. I am just as entitled to labeling this doorway my doorway as you are. So who wins the doorway, everybody say? Who wins the doorway? Even Rabbi Kivegar will have to concede who's going to win this doorway. What? Who wins the doorway? B wins the doorway. You know why? Because that's the derech what? That's the Derech Bia. That's the Derech Bia Oscha. B wins the doorway. Guess what? If B wins the doorway, that's the doorway leading into a makom, lack of cover, and therefore it's part of the mezuzah. Hold on. So that's the Chazanish responded back to the tainus against Rabbi Kivegar. So again, Rabbi Kivegar had his Chiddush Gadol. The other Chachamim never heard of his Chiddush, but Rabbi Kivegar had his Chiddush Gadol. And the Chazanish said, Abba Zoi, why do you say the same svar about bathrooms? And to which the Chazanish responded, no, the tour of a bathroom is fundamentally different. So Rabbi Yisai, I've been bothered with this Chaznish, is right if what? If the bathroom is more than dollar dollar, but the bathroom is less than dollar dollar. So it's taka chisern and dira. And if it's a chisern and dira, oy oy oy, whenever there's a chisern and dira, who grabs the doorway for themselves? Hey, and according to the Kivegi, you should be mechuyev to put a mezuzah on the doorway going into the bedroom, out of the bathroom, on the right side from the bathroom to the bedroom, according to the Kivegi. And I don't know the answer to this kasha. What? Enochinami! I don't think the bathrooms of Rebrach were so big. I don't think anyone put on Lo Shemano Davazemi Erem. There should be mezuzahs on bathrooms less than Dalada. Lo Shemano Davazemi Erem. What? Because the Shasha is Potter, right? Lagami Potter, right? Right? Because it's a Mokob tour, because it's not a base covered, right? Pashtus now. The Gemara does say in Maseches Menachos that one of the ways of determining which way is considered to be the right side, if you have two rooms and a chayav, so one of the ways of determining which is the derech biyasa is which way it opens into. But the Gemara uses that as one of the ways of determining it. The post can hold, that's one of the many ways, but not the most important way. The much more important way is the derech biyah. If there's no clear for derech biyah, then maybe that plays a role. I said, Ruba, the post can hold the way, except for who? You know who? Who's the Bar Plukta on this one? The Lubavitcher's. If you go into a Lubavitcher institution, one thing that will catch your eye, if you're looking carefully, is that 95% of mezuzahs are on the left side. What happened? Then it has to be on the right side. So everyone's left footed. That's why. No. So the reason is that they quote from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I don't know if it's in the Shulchan Aruch himself or it's just a tradition after the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I don't remember. That he held that when the Gemara says that condition of which way the door swings, that's the most important condition. All the other poskim said that's one of the many conditions, but it usually loses out to the other conditions. And the Shulchan Aruch said, no. That's built condition. Anytime you have any two rooms, so you're always going to have the door swinging one way, and whichever way the door swings, that's the way the mezuzah goes. So in communal buildings, there's usually a rule. I don't know, what's the law? Whenever you have communal buildings, there's a code, there's a fire code. The doors have to. What? You have to open out because you have to be able to get out faster. You have to push rather than pull. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you know where the mezuzahs would be? Would be over here. Because that hallway is probably chayev and this room is chayev. All the mezuzahs would be on this side. We, who don't follow the Bam Tzitzah, we assume that this is called the Derech Habiyah, and the mezuzahs would be over here. So, anyone who's in Kol this summer, who's going to prefer Kol this summer, who remembers the new Chadar Ochel? The first 5 weeks of the summer, all the mezuzahs were. They're all on the wrong side. Okay, they're all on the wrong side. They're all on the left side. And so my limud chus was that the person who probably put them up probably either didn't know what he was doing or he was Lubavitch, and he had this psach to put them on that side. But it was wrong even according to Lubavitch because it was the outdoor mezuzah. Even the Shulchan Aruch Harav agrees that if you're coming from your house from the street into your house, so then even if the door swings out, still you have to put the mezuzah going in. So they were wrong even according to Lubavitcher. So for 5 weeks I didn't want to bother anybody, I didn't need to do anything. Then one day all of a sudden somebody decided to switch more, so now they're right. Unless somebody switched them back.
A lot of rooms they have that room before a bathroom.
Oh, okay. So the room before a bathroom is a different part. That room is probably chayav mezuzah, because that's not really not a base cover. That I wash my face in there, I wash my hands in there, to brush the teeth in there. That's not really
A lot of times a very small room.
So then it depends how it's you think. If you think like the Rosh Hashanah, you put it going into that. If you think Rabbi Kivega, then you have it coming out of that room into the main part of the house. Right, but according to most poskim,
the... If it was a small bathroom, you have to put it just inside the bathroom because the door is always coming out.
No, but it could be on the out. No, no. Well, it only has to be on the inside of the door if you're able to. If it's impossible, then the ikra din, the Ramah Paskas, you can put it on the, past the door also, as long as it's still on the mezuzah itself. Anyway, so again, it's a food for thought, this Rabbi Kivegar, what the answer to this phenomenon is, according to Rabbi Kivegar, that is kasha, when you have a small bathroom, what happened to the mezuzah in a small bathroom? But that which the Chazon Ish is saying, it's like a milsa de pshita, that there's a difference, this is already a conceptual issue of the mezuzah, between the p'tur of a bathroom in contrast to the p'tur of a less than dollar by dollar, but that a bathroom is fundamentally a makom dira. The p'tur of makom covered, but it's fundamentally a makom dira. That's a little bit tricky, because there is a machlekes, there was a machlekes in the days of the Rishonim about the following. The Gemara says that a makom that's not a makom covered is part of a mezuzah. Fereshi Gemara Maseches Yuma. So the Rishon and the Shaila, what if I have a room that I'm fundamentally living in? I'm really, 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 truly living in this, but there are things every once in a while that are done that are not necessarily derech covered. Is such a room chayv mezuzah or not? Call that a bedroom. So a bedroom, sometimes people are not dressed in the bedroom. Most of the time people are dressed, sometimes people are not dressed in the bedroom. So there was one opinion, Rishon, the Ramah quotes an opinion, there was some who held that bedrooms are part of mezuzah. People are sometimes undressed there. And the Ramah says, the Ramah says it's not true. But the Ramah says there were those who used to rely on this, and we know that there were times in the days of Rishonim, there were some houses that only had mezuzahs on the front door, and the bedrooms of the didn't have mezuzahs. They were relying on this opinion. The Ramah writes it's not correct, and nobody follows up as matter of that. What's the svara against that those Rishonim? So basically the Ramah and the others explain that the svar why those who show L'chaira shouldn't be followed is that the only time we find is a p'tur for a makam she'en of kavod is when it's not an absolute makam dira. It's not a real bona fide makam dira. Like a bathroom is not really such a makam dira in the first place. But to have a mamish 100% makam dira and just once in a while I'm undressed for 2 seconds in it, so that's still called makam dira. So that svara that the Rishayim and the Ramah accept, that a bedroom is not the same as a bathroom. A bathroom at the end of the day is not really an absolute makom dira. That doesn't fit so well to this Chazon Ish. Because the Chazon Ish is saying that bathrooms are mamish on par with bedrooms. They're mamish, they're going up against the bedrooms. And this is a makom dira, that's a makom dira. And therefore the bathroom wins. And therefore it's part of the mezuzah. According to the Ramah is saying that bedrooms and bathrooms are not the same level of dira. Bedrooms are a much higher level of dira, and therefore, even if you're undressed for a few moments, you're still mechuyav mezuzah. Unlike a bathroom, it's never going to be chayav mezuzah. So, I don't know, just an interesting idea. When you look at mezuzah, you have to like measure a little bit, almost like different daggers, different degrees of what's called dira, what's not called dira. We have the Shabbat at doctor's offices a lot. About exam rooms, doctor's exam rooms, is that chayav mezuzah? Is that mechum dira? Is that mechum kavod? So, not an absolute makom dira, you know. I think the office of a doctor, but I say the doctor's personal office, that's a makom dira. He sometimes eats lunch there, so closes the door, takes a nap there sometimes. Okay? So, that's the pashas of makom dira. That would be chayav in mezuzah. But the exam room, so, is that really a makom dira or not? Is there for some time? Is it a makom kavod? Is it closer to a model of a bathroom or closer to the model of a bedroom? So I think it depends what kind of doctor it is. There's a reason I doctor, so then it's a makom patients don't get undressed. Other kinds of doctors that patients always get undressed, maybe that's miyuchel kach, that's closer to a bathroom, bathhouse type of a model. So that may depend. That's really a doctor question in terms of offices. But getting back to that story. So Rabbi Isai, we're now in a little bit of a pickle here in terms of makom mezuzah, because we're not sure which path to go. In terms of when I have these small rooms, should I go down the Rosh Hashanah's path and just put it going into B? Should I go down the Kivegas path and go putting it into A? Should I go down the Rabbi Isha's path and say put it not at all? Maybe I should put it on both. Four different logical possibilities what I should do. Just to make matters even more complicated, in case you didn't think they were complicated enough, very, very often, we're not even sure the dimensions of B. Why are we not sure the dimensions of B? Well, it depends how you measure. What do I mean by that? Is it a 4x4 or an 8x2? There are a lot of closets. Some closets are very small. These are coat closets, are fairly small. But some bedroom closets are fairly large. Some of them are very, very large, depending on how many shoes some members of the family have. So they're sometimes very, very large. Very rarely are they dollar by dollar mamish walk-in closets, and even in bedrooms, very rarely. But they are very, very often more than 8x2. They're very, very often more than a square foot of 16 amas. We just throw back to yesterday's shiur. But now, to make matters even more complicated on these closet shilas, we're not even sure whether we're even dealing with them more than dollar by dollar or less by dollar by dollar. To make matters even more complicated, we're not even sure how to do what? How to measure what? How to measure an amma. There's such a discrepancy in the poskim as to what the size of an amma is, anywhere from closer to 18 inches to closer to 23 inches. The different opinions of Chaimnot, the Chazanishas, the Ramoshas, there's a 5-inch discrepancy as to what an amma is. Times that by 4, there's a 20, that's almost 2 feet discrepancy, whether you even have a mokum dollar by dollar or not. You can begin to see the issues piling up here, make these kinds of shilas very, very complicated. A lot of playing and maneuvering to try to figure out. You have to first ask yourself, do I have dollar by dollar? Do I not have dollar by dollar? Do I know whose numbers dollar by dollar I'm using? Or do I not know? Even in the limit that I don't have, am I going to go down to Rosh Hashanah, go down to Kivega, go down to Ramosha, go down both? A lot of complications in terms of shilas. So we have to, hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll try to put the final touches on this dollar by dollar story. There are other shilas also. The next thing, hopefully Mitzvah will talk about tomorrow, what if I have a room that's airspace is more than dollar by dollar, but floor space is not. Why is the floor space not? Because there's stuff that's nailed into the, it's connected to the floor. What do we call those? Couches are usually not nailed in. Well, they're interior decorators. What do we call them? Usually an average kitchen has that. A kitchen has counters that are part of the wall now. You have closets that are built in it. You have all kind of situations where we're not even sure how to measure dollar by dollar. Do we go bust at the floor level, go bust at the airspace level? Also very, very unclear. So we have a lot of things to talk about to try to just to get some kind of some degree of a maskana as to what to do with all these kind of funny things. And then hopefully Hashem will come back to the sukkah part of the sugya as well. So let's just, and tomorrow we'll finish the sugya and start the next one. No, this is only on the front door of the house. The front door of the house, even the Bob's is 3 feet into the house.